God is so good. Next week is Pentecost Sunday. Does that mean anything to you? Yes. Pentecost. What's that? What does it mean? I thought you'd never ask. Pentecost it's actually a transliteration of a Hebrew word. It's a Greek, Pentecostos, is a Greek word that was the one used to translate out of Leviticus 23:19, I think it is, where the festival of weeks. Weeks is Pentecost. Pentecostos, and it was used in the translation, the first translation from Hebrew to Greek, which was the Septuagint. Not that this means much to anybody, but theologically it means something. And so it was used 300 years before Christ, his time walking on the earth. And it was used to describe the Festival of Weeks. Now, the Festival of Weeks is one of the three big festivals in the Old Testament. It was there was Passover, and then the Festival of Weeks, and then harvest, essentially. Festival of Weeks was to be counted 50 days after Passover. Passover was a Shabbat, a Sabbath. And it was to be 7 weeks, right? 7 weeks, 49 days, right? But it says specifically in Leviticus to count 50 days. Now, there's a purpose to that. It's really amazing what God has in store. The Festival of Weeks was initially, and I'm answering your question here, the Festival of Weeks was initially a festival of harvest in the spring when the first buds came out. And when the buds come out, you know you're going to have a harvest by faith, right? It's a faith-related thing. And so you see the buds, it's time for the Festival of Weeks. Shavuot, is the Hebrew word for it, and that is a point of faith. We have up here. You see the blossoms, and the blossoms mean to you that there's going to be fruit on the fruit trees, on the nut trees. Alan has a wonderful fig tree. A very fruitful fig tree, and on it are little bulbs that Alan could go out and count and know what his harvest is going to be like. He'll have a really good idea. Some of them won't grow, but most of them will grow, and he'll have a good harvest of figs this year. Yeah. And so part of who God is he had us meet together. Three times a year. Once was the sacrifice of the Passover, and we've been over that. This one is Shavuot, which is the Festival of Weeks, and it's a faith-related festival. It's a festival to celebrate that we're going to actually have something to eat in the fall that will get us through the winter again. And it's a joyful time. Because God is doing something wonderful. Now, in the Hebrew calendar, they changed that along the way to be a commemoration, a remembrance of the giving of the law. So when Moses got the law on Mount Sinai, they started to celebrate that in the Festival of Weeks. But remember that it's 50 days that they counted, not 49 weeks. 49 weeks would have put it right on the Shabbat again, right on the Sabbath day. But they went past the Sabbath day. God did. This wasn't a work of man. So watch what happens. God resurrects Jesus, the Passover lamb, right? And tells them to wait until, and we'll go over this in just a minute, but wait until the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Jesus says, I haven't come to put away the law, but I've come to fulfill it, right? Now, the law was celebrated on the Festival of the Weeks, what we call Pentecost. Penta is five, right? 50 days. And so, God in his wisdom, so amazing. They celebrate the law until the Holy Spirit is poured out. Holy Spirit being poured out upon man and woman, because they were both there, the 120 in the upper room that day, poured it out, and it became, it birthed the church. The church was birthed that day. The very birthday of the church was on Pentecost Sunday. Wow. Not on Shabbat, but on Sunday, 50 days from Passover. God's plan. At which time we move to a higher plane than the law. The law has been fulfilled. We're called to fulfill the law of grace. And the law of grace is an amazing thing. It doesn't pass away the Old Testament law, the law of Moses. That has not passed away. But we're called not only to that, but to a higher plane. Remember, Jesus said, in the law it says that, you know, you shall not look upon a woman with lust. But I say that if you have lust in your heart, then you've broken the law, right? So it's, the law was one thing, but Jesus called us to more than that. Now, nobody could live the law, not one. Jesus was the only one that could live the law, and he fulfilled it. And we can't live the higher law without help. Where does that help come from? The Holy Spirit, which was poured out on Pentecost Sunday, 50 days from the Passover. So there's a principle that laws are in place until they are superseded, right? I'll give you an example. Law of gravity. Law of gravity is a constant, always there law. Right? It's not in the Bible, but a Christian, John Newton, found it when an apple fell in his head. Anyway, law of gravity is always there. But there is a law that supersedes it, the law of lift. And so if you have a wing and enough oomph, you can actually go past the law of gravity and not fall down. Some planes have actually gone up and into the atmosphere and will never fall down again. The law of gravity said everything that goes up must come down. But the law of lift overrides it, if you'll pardon the pun. The law of gravity doesn't pass away. The law of gravity remains. But the law of lift moves past it. And that's an amazing thing. And that's what we're called to in grace, is more than the Old Testament. That you couldn't live that before. Now you can't. There is no way you can live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit. He's amazing. He's so wonderful. So I want to look at Pentecost. It's in Acts chapter 2. Just let me read from Leviticus. That's where my Bible's open to. So Leviticus 23:16 says, "You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a grain offering of new grain to the Lord." And blah, blah, blah. It gives you all the stuff for the festival of weeks. 50 days, not 49. Acts 2. Yeah. So, the next time you're accused of not keeping the Sabbath, you say, "Well, God told me so." In Leviticus. Acts 2, 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, when Shavuot arrived, that festival, the men were supposed to be in Jerusalem on that day. So Jerusalem, again, just like at Passover, there was lots of people that didn't live there. They were there for the festival. And at this day, they're there for the festival. And so they're all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so it goes on from there. And 3 weeks ago, I preached on John's first message, which comes out of this thing. But today I wanted to focus on Pentecost because it's next week. And we're going to be focused on God doing things in the body, giving us elders and giving us people who have the hearts of mothers and fathers to protect the house. And I'm so grateful for Ron and Bonnie being a part of that. Stefan, who is an elder, is away today up in Kelowna with a team he coaches soccer for. So he'll be back next Sunday and we'll lay hands on Ron and Bonnie. Holy Spirit has always been around. He's part of the Trinity, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not an it. He's a person. And he's a person you can have a relationship with. The Spirit of Jesus, who comes to live in you when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, comes to live in us. And it's through that he keeps his promise, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." The Holy Spirit is not leaving. He's set up residence and he has a right to be there, and he's always going to be with us. Holy Spirit is so fun to get to know. He has an incredible sense of humor. And he's an expert in everything. Like when I'm stumped about what to do in a situation, doesn't matter what it is, it's preaching or counseling or fixing my car. When I actually finally say, "Holy Spirit, can you help me with this?" He always says, "Oh, that's my specialty. I can get that done." And with excitement that he's a part of my life. And he's a part of your life. Available for you anytime. He's always there and always speaking to us. And he's so wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. His whole being is about pointing to Jesus. glorifying Jesus. If you say to him, boy, I'm just so glad that you're around and I really want to honor you and worship you, he says, no, turn to Jesus. Give your praise to Jesus. Three in one. Now, lots of ideas have come about trying to wrap your brain around that, the Trinity. You know, like we are triune beings, body, soul, and spirit, right? And you, which one? How do you separate those, right? You can't, and keep it intact. If you look at water, it can be frozen, liquid, or gas, three in one, but not at the same time. So the examples break down a little bit, but with Holy Spirit, He's always part of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're always together, always of the same mind, always thinking the same thing, always doing the same thing. It's something that we just can't wrap our finite minds around. Because He is infinite, and we are finite. We have limited understanding. His ways are above our ways. He's so, so wonderful. And He was given to us on the day of Pentecost to start the church. They were gathered in a place. God's plan is to work through His bride, the church. Right? So staying home is not a part of God's plan. Being on your with your favorite TV evangelist, that's not being a part of the church. Being part of the church is coming together with the united Holy Spirit. There is something absolutely spectacular that happens when we come together. You'll notice when we sing, it sounds like there's more than just the people you can see around you, because you know that lots of them aren't singing. but yet the sound is better. The sound is more wonderful. And when we come together, we're stirred to things that we didn't think about all week. Because somebody may have a need of whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is dropping upon us. He is so wonderful. So He didn't have the law pass away. He started the church on Pentecost Sunday. And we know when the church started. Like Jesus, we're not sure if he was born on December 25th, right? Nobody's got definitive proof. But I want to celebrate His birthday anyway, so that's a good day. Whatever day, I'm going to celebrate it. But we can celebrate the church, the birth of the church, on Pentecost Sunday every year. And that's so exciting, because the church is God's only plan to bring salvation to the world. He's so good. So, so, so good. Hallelujah. So that's what we make the big fuss about with Pentecost. There's four things that I just want to focus on a little bit about Holy Spirit and why we celebrate Holy Spirit and Pentecost. The first one is the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to be with us Pentecost Sunday, and He's not left for one moment since. He's been with us all the time. But He comes not just as that still small voice, that one that talks to us, but He comes with power at the same time. The power of the Holy Spirit is amazing. We sing that song, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, and it shall quicken, like aliven your mortal body. The very same Holy Spirit that kicked the snot out of death, the undefeated foe, I was looking for a better metaphor, but I knew Paul would understand that one. Being an old fighter, right? He beat death. Like the incredible power of that. Death was a foe that every single person that's ever lived lost a battle to. Oh, okay. Call me a liar for Enoch. And maybe Moses, they never found his bones. So. But everybody else lost the battle to death. And there's reasons for Enoch, but that's not today. But there was so much power in the Holy Spirit that he could defeat death and raise Jesus. Others had been raised before. You know, prophet lies on somebody, they're raised from the dead. Jesus speaks to Lazarus. He raised from the dead, but they both died again. Jesus was raised and lives forevermore. He is forevermore alive and interceding for his church. The power of the Holy Spirit. All of the healing that you need is in the Holy Spirit. Everything you need for life and prosperity is in the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit. His presence and his power are here right now, the same way they have been throughout history. And it's up to us to tap into that. Here's the, I don't remember the story. In West Texas, in the 20s, 1920s, there was a poor farmer. His name was Yates. True story. And Mr. Yates was trying to make it on his farm with his family, and in West Texas, it's prairie and the winds blow and it's hard to grow and it's droughty, and it was just very difficult for him to make a living, and he had to go on welfare. Social welfare. He had, in order for his family to make it, he took the meager pittance that the government would give him to live on. Then one day, some geologist came by, wanted to test his land for oil. It's kind of the Beverly Hillbillies in Texas. They tested his, he gave him permission, signed a lease, and they tested, and 1,155 feet down, they struck a sea of oil. And that particular well, that one well, has given 80,000 barrels of oil a day since. And in 2011, they had the geologist test it, and they said, you can take 125,000 barrels of oil out of here a day, and we can't tell you when it's going to run out. So Mr. Yates was a millionaire. Now, Mr. Yates was a millionaire before the geologist came, because he had the mineral rights, he had the undersurface rights, it was all there belonging to him, and yet he chose, because of ignorance, to live in poverty. He didn't know what was available to him. My people perish for lack of knowledge, right? Holy Spirit is living in you. You have the rights to everything that Jesus paid for you. Are you choosing to live as spiritual paupers and not access the incredible wealth that's available to us? Wealth in more than just money. Mr. Yates just had money. We have the spiritual realm open to us and available to us. And it's all yours. It's so amazing. Second point I wanted to make was the central role of the church in God's work in the world. God had a plan. God's plan was to have a people try their hardest to live up to the law that he gave them. But he knew it wasn't going to work. So he had a redeemer. All in his plans from the start. He had a day picked for when Holy Spirit would be released onto the earth into the church. Pentecost, Leviticus 23. Amazing story. God's plan. You are God's plan A for the salvation of the world through the church, which is driven and controlled, we trust, by the Holy Spirit. It was his plan. As fallible as the church is, as fallible as each individual member is, God has one plan and one plan only, that his bride will be found without spot or wrinkle, and his bride would bring, through the Holy Spirit, the world to salvation. God's plan. I'll try and wrap it up pretty quick here. So, the third thing is the multilingual nature and mission of the church. You notice that when the Holy Spirit came that first Pentecost Sunday, he had them speak in languages. There were people from all over the place. They speak like Parthians and Medes, and you know, there was a whole bunch of people that spoke a whole bunch of different languages. And if you read further in Acts 2, it says they all understood them in their own language. God's plan was to take us to the ends of the earth, to bring salvation in whatever language the people spoke. Not to make them all Jews, but to go and speak to them in ways that they understand, so that they would fully understand God in their culture. Not that you have to become our culture. Our missionaries have blown that so badly, you know, trying to force people to become English church in their ways, or Catholic church in their ways, whatever it was. And missionaries went out, our missionaries made them dress like Englishmen and women, and you know, sing like it. Just you kind of shudder when you look at it now. It's not about that. It's about Holy Spirit being available to the people in their culture, and it's so wonderful. He cares about the language that people speak. He cares about the culture that people speak. He cares about the individual person. And the mission of the church is to bring the truth and power of the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's always been his plan, through the church to the world. And the fourth one is the inclusive ministry of the church. All of the people that were there were men and women in the upper room, in the 120. Peter chose to take the passage out of Joel as his example in the first sermon. And it was, I will pour my spirit out on all flesh. I'm not saying that it's just for the men. It's for the men and the women. Every kind of flesh, I will pour my spirit out. He is totally inclusive. He is inclusive of every race, every culture, every gender, too. Male and female, he made them. He is inclusive, and he loves everyone, and he hasn't changed his mind. I'll stay away from the jokes in there, but because I'm getting wise in my old age. My jokes somehow have a way of coming back at me. Holy Spirit. So as we read about the Holy Spirit, and as he's poured out, and as he's received, receive the Holy Spirit and be baptized in water. That's the plan that they had at the beginning. But you know that it's, as you read Acts, it's not a one-time only thing. I really believe that it's a be filled with the Holy Spirit when you're converted, but keep on being filled. It's a day-to-day thing. Any day that I have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, I end up trying to live it on my own or failing to live it on my own and messing up somewhere. But if I am filled afresh with the Holy Spirit, then somehow he enables me to do the things that he wants me to do. And it's so wonderful. In this past year, he has shown me in new ways how much I need him. I have had terrible things, thoughts dancing in my head, ways that I wanted to hurt people. And you know, I'm not a guy that wants to hurt anybody, but they come into my head. And ways that people have hurt me, and how sad I get about that. How my family has been hurt. And the pressure of all of that takes me to a place that by myself I can't live in. And so he reminds me that he will never leave me or forsake me. That little voice brings the scripture to me, that he will never leave me or forsake me. Then he says, why don't you just pray in tongues for a little while? And so I've become more and more addicted to speaking in tongues every day. Because it says it builds up the inner man. And so when I do that, those thoughts flee away. And I'm able to bless those that I wanted to hurt. I'm able to say, God, we can make it through this no matter the suffering because you're with us. We will do what you want us to do in this season, Lord. You've called us to stand and we're going to stand. You've called us to do the things that you want us to do. And I can do that because your spirit lives in me. It quickens me. It makes alive my body. And it's done from making my spirit man stronger. Hallelujah. Even in the moment. Like it doesn't take much speaking in tongues to lift you up, to build you up to the place where you can handle whatever's happening again. It's absolutely wonderful. And I am totally addicted. And I hope there isn't a place that I can go to get rid of that addiction. He is so good all the time. He's teaching us and leading us and counseling us and building us up all the time. Holy Spirit is the best friend you'll ever have. Closer than a brother, he says. Now, most of you know most of the stuff that I said today, but it's just a reminder of how good he is all the time. Amanda? Oh, I love that we have a speaker in there. She can hear me and she's coming. Paul? Oh, we have a speaker out here too. They're going to lead us in a song, and we'll sing. And after we've sung, I want to lead us in a prayer that God will fill us again with His Holy Spirit today and every day. And then we're going to celebrate moms and give the moms a flower. Just because we honor them so much. And the kids have some poetry they want to read, I think. But let's just worship God right now.